Static Selecta is one of my favorite mixtape DJs, and Nas is one of my favorite MCs, at least on his best tracks. If you're interested in learning more about that mix CD called The Prophecy, check out staticselecta.com. Spell his name right. It's important to him. www.staticselecta.com. Static Selecta. He's holding it down out of Boston, Massachusetts, representing the mixtape game with lots of freestyles, remixes, and exclusives. Speaking of exclusives, we got plenty of those here at Mental Illness as a Technology, and vice versa, and you're about to hear one now from a speech 4 days ago at the University of North Carolina at Asheville. This is, we're the first people to have this on the air anywhere. This is Bell Hooks from her lecture, February 25th, 2005. We apologize in advance for the poor quality, but sometimes when you're the first to have something, you have to listen closely. So keep it right here, Bell Hooks on Mental Illness as a Technology and vice versa on radioforall.net.
I'm happy to be back. I think it speaks so highly of the students here that when I came to Asheville 5 years ago, I met one of your African-American students, Julia, who many of you may know. Julia still calls me to this day to talk about books and ideas, and it just shows you what happens, that face-to-face contact between students and people they're being and studying can form meaningful relationships. I thank everybody who made it possible for me to be here. It seems like just a moment of incredible synchronicity. I want to dedicate my words today to the Chancellor, because like him, I've made a big change since I came to Asheville. I moved from Manhattan to the small town of Korea. That's what I'm going to talk about, going back to Kentucky, which is where I was raised. I know that many of you here have read your Bell Hooks book and you have lots of questions. So, this is the kind of, I decided I only read this talk once before, that it's not the best talk to give, and that it seems like a more solemn kind of talk. So I'm going to try to reduce it, and then we'll have lots of time for questions and answers. I've been talking already today with students about media, about sideways, about hits, all the movies that are out. The more I teach, the more I learn that teaching is a prophetic vocation. A prophetic vocation demands of us allegiance to integrity of vision and belief in the face of those who either seek to silence or discredit our words. In Jim Rohn's book, The Soul of Politics, he maintains that the prophetic vocation demands of us that we be, quote, bold in telling the truth and ready to hold up an alternative vision, one that enables people to imagine new possibilities. I think we saw an alternative vision in the girls' chorus, all kind of girls, shimmying, shaking, singing to us. And we congratulate them. As I feel like this is so amazing, if we listen to our intuitive self. Yesterday, something told me that I needed to get to the airport way early. And my therapist, whom I haven't played with, agreed with me, took off in the car and she was walking at the airport. And I got there way early. And I, in Charlotte, and I see this black man, afro before me, with a bony little leg, and I say, Cornell! Cornell! And we hadn't seen each other for a number of years. And as a student like this, also been in transition, many of you who read and study, you know he's been dealing with cancer, for which he is very healthy right at this moment. But we just sat and had a wonderful hour and a half of fellowship together, remembering ourselves as young colleagues. idea. And everyone was there, and everyone was like, "Act away!" I was like, "Oh."
Thank you.
the rainfall. And so in many ways, we always have a sense that there's a world beyond man. There's a world beyond human kind. And so no matter how much rainfall he might encounter, like the sun did, he had a world of beauty and value that he found in nature. What I want to talk about today is the culture of belonging. In that culture of belonging, I learned the importance of divine providence. His profound belief in divine order allowed Dan and Gary to experience wholeness and integrity, despite the forces of white supremacist exploitation and oppression surrounding him. His love of the soil, the solace that he found in nature, enabled him to have an open mind and an uplifted heart. Despite the sufferings he experienced living in the world of Jim Crow, subject to the cruel whims of a white supremacist patriarchal regime, he found a cultural belonging in the natural world with the earth as his living. Now, those of you who practice Buddhism know that there are many Buddhist practices that have to do with acknowledging the earth as a witness to all that we experience. It is this culture of belonging he shared with me, belonging in the natural world. His first granddaughter trembled behind him as he brought seeds into the earth, as he harvested the fruits of his labor. In rebalancing the world, Charlie Flinder shares the insight that it is useful to think of the values of belonging as habits of the heart. And this fitting that in those early years of my childhood, I felt heart whole. Explaining further our understanding of the culture of belonging, Flinders writes, "The values of belonging are, in fact, the symptoms of a particular way of being in the world. Together, they form a dynamic whole, a center, if you will, or an orientation or ethos. Within that whole, each value reinforces and all but implies the other. And the source of their power as a constellation is a synergy between them." Some of you might read that and think about if you saw the movie What the Greens and We Know, because that's a lot of what they were describing in that film, the interdependency of life. Flinders asks readers to think of the values of belonging as points on a circle, windows onto a single reality, listing the characteristics of the culture of belonging. She explains, "Fundamental to the culture of belonging is a strong sense of reciprocal connection to the land where one lives, empathic relationship to animals, self-restraint, custodial conservatism, deliberateness, balance, expressiveness, generosity, egalitarianism, mutuality, affinity for alternative modes of knowing, playfulness, inclusiveness, non-violent conflict resolution, and openness of spirit." It's so amazing to me when I read that sense of the culture of belonging, because I think many of us from all different ethnicities that are moving back from northern cities to southern places are coming back precisely because it was in these locations that we felt that sense of culture of belonging, of connectedness. I was eating in a restaurant last night, and the waiter, Michael, who worked with us, said that he moved back here from Manhattan. He said, "It's not that I didn't have a good life in Manhattan, but that there was something here, something about this man that I grew up with, and coming to be with his son, though, who lived in Dime of Virginia." And I feel that in my own self that, you know, my parents never called me when I was in New York. But they called me in Kentucky, like, "Well, what was the thing?" But it's about the fact that I have returned to that landscape of their world that is of value to them. The values of belonging imprinted on my consciousness in early childhood were in conflict with the world inside our patriarchal domestic household. In the concrete house, I did not belong. There, my spirit was alien. There, I was subjected to soul-merging assault. When my family moved from the hills into town, it was a cold. And in the world beyond, I found a place of refuge in books, ways of perceiving the world which expanded my consciousness and left me wanting more from life than I believed was possible in the changing landscape of Kentucky, as black people left hills, backwoods, and countryside to pursue what they perceived to be better life in towns, or left altogether to migrate to northern cities. It's so amazing to think about. Think about the fact that before the early 1900s, more than 90% of black people lived in the agrarian South. We were an agrarian people with a relationship to the land, to the environment. Because I don't know how that most white folks think of environmentalism as a white issue. And that black people are not concerned about the land and the environment and don't have that custodial relationship. But part of our whole relationship in slavery was the custodial relationship to the land. So that in part, I feel that in thinking about the healing of black America, we also have to return and reclaim our relationship to the land. Those of you who are working on farming, look at the history of black people and farming in our society. Oftentimes, black folks who left southern roots have symbolically run away to escape the everyday racism that restricts, limits, and confines. A racism that seems somehow worse than the racism one encounters elsewhere, because we encounter it among those with whom we are familiar. It is intimate terrorism imposed not by strangers. When I left Kentucky more than 30 years ago, I felt like an exile, as though I was being forced to leave the landscape of my origin, my native place, because it would not allow me to grow, to be fully self-actualized. Both the inner world of family dysfunction and the outer world of dominator culture threatened to suffocate my spirit. Writing about exile in Pedagogy of the Heart, Paulo Freire contends, suffering exile implies recognizing that one has left his or her context of origin. It means experiencing bitterness, the clarity of a cloudy place, for one must make right moves to get through. Exile cannot be suffered when it is all pain and pessimism. Exile cannot be suffered when it is all reason. One suffers exile when his or her conscious body, reason, and feeling, one's whole body is touched. To have a project for the future, Paulo writes, I do not live only in the past. Rather, I exist in the present, for I prepare myself for a possible return. Exile highlighted to me all that was vital and life-sustaining about the Kentucky world I grew up in. It was the fields of dreams I explored to uncover the common hegemonic culture of belonging that made me different, able to think critically, to be radically open. Even though Kentucky in our vernacular tongue was the language of my dreams, I didn't ever imagine myself returning to live in Kentucky. Time and time again, I visited and felt that so little had changed. As a grown woman, I felt there was even less room for me there than when I was a child. Unchanged racism seemed to have gone more deeply entrenched. To me, coming home was like going back in time. So many of the times that I returned were moments given over to grief, that the old ways, the old culture, the old people were leaving us. Throughout the body of my work, those of you who read me know, I grew unhappily on childhood memories of life in a culture where I felt I belonged. To fully become oneself, we have to understand the ground of our being, and that understanding invariably returns us to childhood. In the hidden room, Wendell Berry writes, I have gone back to my native place. To live there, mindful of its nature and its possibilities. Researching return migrations, a movement of African Americans from urban cities to the rural South, Carol Stack said that the interviews, people she interviewed, she's an anthropologist, wanted to come home to reclaim aspects of belonging and community. also wanting to work for change in the world that they're growing up, which seems so unchanged. She explains, no one's thinking timeless paradise, and no one, however nostalgic, is really seeking to turn back the clock. What people are seeking is not so much the home they left behind, as a place that they feel they can change, a place in which their lives and thriving will make a difference, a place in which to create a home.
You've been listening to Bell Hooks, giving a speech at the University of North Carolina at Asheville, February 25th, 2005. The speech is about African-American return migration to the South and the culture of belonging, as well as some other issues. Now we're going to take it flashback real quick. Flashback to a moment in past time on this program. Keep it right here. Mental illness as a technology and vice versa. On radioforall.net and Free Radio Asheville, 107.5 FM.